Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 78 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere by a Choice, One of Comfort versus One of Resistance. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
And so as we begin today, we'll begin with Lesson 78. And we do have I see this first session as a tremendously important, necessary, let me put it this way, a very important, a very necessary session that begins this next few hours that we have together here as believers. And as we as believers gather together, there is, there is a reason for our gathering and for our getting together. And the purpose and the reason is just tremendous. I can't emphasize with you enough on what we can't see that's going on and what contribution we have to this. So of Lesson 78, the title of this teaching today. I've been into this series of changing the spiritual atmosphere, but here I have, by choice, one of comfort versus one of resistance. As disciples of Christ, that is the question. I hope you can consider this question as the human soul is constantly seeking a place of comfort, a place of comfort. And so I've got a place of comfort versus one of resistance. And as if we're truly serious about moving forward in life, if we are truly serious about this thing, you will have to consider the truth that God is not after your comfort. He's not after, it's not climbing, it's like I've taught you, climbing a mountain takes work, it takes effort. To go down a mountain is to seek the way of least resistance. To be a disciple of Christ is to hit resistance head on. How do we pray? Head on. So it's just so important that we grab hold of this, not only this spiritual truth, but this natural truth. If you are in this class to find an easier way of life, I've told you, you are in the wrong class. That is not what this class is about. This teaching, this understanding of the prophetic is about a group of people that are seeking resistance from the enemy. If you're into weight training, you train your muscles against the resistance of the weight. What does that do? What does that equal? It equals more strength, correct? You say, well, Alan, I think I'm lifting a little heavier weights than I can lift. All right, consider this. In life, you can do everything just right. You can have everything just right. You can learn everything just right. You can do everything just right. And guess what? It's still not enough. Still not enough. So, perhaps it's not about doing everything just right, saying everything just right, being just right. What if that is not the script that we've been given? We already know the conclusion of that. For us to do these things, we still need the sovereignty of God. After you've done all you can do, thought all you can do, done all you can do, memorized all you can memorize, forgiven everybody that you can and forgot all that you have to, is still not enough. Because it still takes this supernatural element of the sovereignty of God. So there's no need thinking that if you do everything just right, say everything just right, got everything just right, that everything's going to be all right. It's not about being all right. It's not about comfort. It's about being strong in the Lord. It's about being strong with the strength of the Spirit. No matter what the mountain to climb, no matter what battle there is to fight, you're strong and you stand strong. If you die on this hill, you die on this hill, but you're not moving. It's because you have a tenacity of you, you have a resolve of you, that after you've done all you can do, you're still going to stand and watch the hand of God. Can anybody feel what I'm trying to say? So it's with that total dependence that we're depending on the sovereignty of God, but it's also with our complete self that we're giving to God for the process of standing so that we can watch Him. Can somebody catch what I'm trying to say here? We do all we know. We memorize all we know. We pray all we can pray. We repent all we can repent. And above all, we still stand. And the reason we're standing is to watch God move. Watch God move. There's many say, well, I've never seen God do anything. Well, I understand. It's from where you're looking from, you can't see well, because God is on the move. So I want us to consider this thought today. How do we change spiritual atmosphere? It's by choice of comfort versus one of resistance. There again, we tend to run a mixed program as Christians. God, give me the best job. God, give me the best car. God, give me the best friend. God, give me the best. God, give me. Right? Because we want our life to be perfect and to be comfortable. Has anybody caught on yet? That's not happening. Come on. Let's smell the roses here. That's not happening. So why is that not happening? But yet we still reach for that goal. Why is it not happening? Because perhaps that's not what God's wanting us to reach for. God, we are in a world that's not user-friendly. It is dangerous. We are in a... God has set us all down in a place that's full of copperheads and spiders. It is dangerous. Is it? Does anybody give me a witness? It's a dangerous place to be. It's hard to make camp in a dangerous place, isn't it? So once we see what God has going on, once we start considering this fact that God has not saved me to give me a life of comfort, and I know this will go against most prosperity teaching. Now, if you're sitting here or listening and you're a multimillionaire, I am glad. Praise God. Praise God. I'm glad for you in all those things. But this gospel in which I teach you this morning is not a gospel of comfort. If you get comfort, that's fine. But if you're seeking comfort, if you're seeking God so you'll have comfort, if that's what you're seeking, that's okay. But if you're wanting to run in the prophetic voice of God, you don't seek comfort anymore. You seek the resistance that's coming against you, because the world's full of it. Well, if that is the greatest commodity that there is out there, do you not think it would be easier? If you have a ship and it's in an ocean that's in full of a storm, and you have huge waves coming at the ship, that ship has only one way that it can make it through this great big wave that's coming. Can anybody tell me what it is? Head on. Head on. You hit it straight, and you hit it head on, and you bust it right in the middle. It's that place of resisting right against that wave that it finds salvation. To not hit it, I'm trying to save your life here if you'll let me, to hit it straight on, it takes great courage. It takes great resolve. Once it's all done, and I've just as I previously said, once you've done it all, prayed it all, said it all, memorized it all, it's still not enough. So we rely on the sovereignty of God, the hand of God, and the move of God. How does God do that? He does it through His light. What tells the captain of the ship to hit it straight on? It's because he's been taught correct information. He knows the right answer. If you're seeking a place of least resistance, you'll say, oh no, let's turn and try to outrun the wave. Or let's go to the side of the wave and kind of ease over it to find total destruction because the ship will roll. When we hit truth, the truth of God, He says you hit it right head on. You don't ease out of an addiction. Oh, I'm going to taper off. I'm going to take it wave easy. I don't want it to be too painful. I want to try to hold as much comfort as possible as I come out of this addiction. You will never come out. You will crash and burn. You have to have a resolve. You have to have a courage, a strength, a determination. I want to hit this puppy head on. I'm going to bust it right in the middle. And I'm going to make the devil a liar. Like I know he is. Watch this. I'm going to pop it right in the middle. Now that's what a disciple of Christ is. There again, if you're looking for the easy way to save your life, there's not one. Christ saved your spiritual life. Guess what? There wasn't an easy way to do it. Somebody had to pay the bill. He busted it right in the middle. He died. He took the sin of the world upon Him. He owned it all to bring victory and life eternal. Our same example is there for us today. What do we do as disciples? How do I change atmosphere? I got to make a choice between comfort and resistance. Knowing that as I work resistance, the stronger I get. You've heard of resistant training. It's when you train in a gym, you're working against the resistance. What does it do? It gives you strength. Gives you strength. Daily, you're resisting evil. What's happening every time you resist evil? You're getting just a little stronger. Well, I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to ease out of it. You're going to crash and burn. Now, so with that in mind, what gives us this understanding to hit it head on? After we've done all we can do, what gives us the right answer? It's called the light of God, and that's what we've been studying for the last few weeks. We've been discussing, with all of this in mind, when we've been discussing how to be transparent, a routine of being transparent with Jesus is a choice. Choice of comfort versus a choice of resistance. So we're thinking, who are we resisting more, the devil or God? I submit to you this morning that we are resisting God more than we're resisting the devil. That's why you get stronger in your determination not to yield to God. Which one are you going to strengthen? It's your choice. Now, with light, it's a choice to be transparent with God, total choice. When we choose this transparency, the more light or Jesus can travel through and be transparent. Now, at the end of this teaching, if I can get there in 30 minutes, as a prophetic people, I want you to have real prophetic dreams, for real prophetic vision that comes from the Spirit of God and not our own wicked hearts with dirty windshields. I want you to have real, because when we have real ones, no one can ever snatch that away from you. Because you know it's real. And there is such a thing. To do that, we've got to get more light on the subject. The reason we're wanting more light is not to have more power. The reason we're wanting more light is so we can see what's in us that's still dirty. Somebody say amen if you got it. The more light we get, the more transparent we are, the more we can see what's blocking the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Now, transparency, I did this with you, of translucency. Transparency is having the property of transmitting light without appreciable scattering so that the body's line beyond are seen clearly. Transparency. I'm going to go in here just a little bit on more of the transparency, how when the light comes in, it's then transmitted. Say transmitted. Transmitted. We are to be transmitters of the light of God. Transparency allows you to receive so you can transmit. Without transparency, there's nothing to transmit. Now keep that in mind. Translucency is permitting light to pass through, but diffusing it so that persons, objects on the opposite side are not clearly seen. What happens, translucency, it means the windshield's dirty. I've been over that the last 2 weeks on how things aren't clean. Why do we repent? We're just wanting to wash our windshield. Are we repenting so God feels better about us and He's not mad at us? No. Repentance allows more of the light of God into our hearts. And the reason this book doesn't work for us a lot of times is because we're carrying it, but the true light's not getting in. Did you know that the salvation message of Christ, that amount of light, that amount of light will come against the dirtiest windshield of mankind? Somebody's lost. They have a totally black windshield. How does the light of God get in? I taught you that earlier about the sprout of corn. You feel the heat first. You rub out a little hole, and there's the light of God. Well, if we get a little bit of the light for salvation, how much more of the light is there to be seen? A lot. This book's real. This book's true. I haven't experienced everything that's in this book. Guess what? I still got a little dirt on my windshield. Because the light of God produces what the light of God produces. Every day. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What's the same about God? His truth. It never changes. It's the lighthouse, as I told you last week. It's the lighthouse on the coast. To a sea, to a ship in the sea. The ship moves, but the lighthouse is permanent. It stays the same. How do you know where you are in life? You compare yourself to the lighthouse. It's the absolute. It's real. It never changes. It's the truth. So as a prophetic people, we compare what we're hearing from God to the lighthouse. Because it never moves. There's the opaque, is darkness in the absence of light. That was the three type of filters. Now, your perceptions create a filter. Now, watch this. Or magnify the light that is received. So, as I receive light, my perception, it either magnifies or filters. Now you say, well, how can, if you have the light of God within you, what in the world could magnify light? It's called faith. That's what Jesus meant when he said, you will even do greater things. So as we receive him as he is the light, and we add faith to the amount of light that we have, it magnifies the light. If, let me give you an example. If I have a pile of leaves and get a magnifying glass, and I hold it with the sun's rays, that magnifying glass brings all of those light particles together in one beam, and it'll start a fire in those leaves. True or false? True. What happens in a church house when all the light comes together and magnifies God? A fire will start. A fire will start. Can anybody hear what I'm trying to say? If a fire's not starting, all of the light is not magnifying God. So when we come together, what would happen if we all, in our mind, consciously and in our spirits, came together and say, I am going to magnify God today and nothing else is going to interfere one little bit. Not what happened this week, not what's going to happen tomorrow, what somebody said, what somebody didn't say. I am here to magnify God. The only thing I can tell you is when we hit that day, you're going to see the biggest Holy Ghost glory-filled fire in this place that you've ever seen. We're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us to magnify His light. It's all it takes. Very simple, but yet so hard to obtain. Did you know that there is, I use a biblical term, suck it up. What do I mean by that? If someone comes in the church house, says something to you, hurts your feelings, would you suck it up? Would you just let it go for the purpose of magnifying God? Well, somebody done me wrong last week. Well, just suck it up. Come in here and let's magnify God. You see, we're not going to hit a perfect time because the enemy is constantly, the week before and the week coming, and even here today, he is constantly creating situations to keep us from magnifying God. You can say, well, they need to quit it. No, just suck it up. What is suck it? What am I meaning by that? I'm going to own your misbehavior. I'm going to own it. Yeah, you shouldn't have said that. I'm going to own it, forgive you, not it, just going to let it fall to the ground. I'm not going to run over here to somebody and say, you won't believe what so-and-so said. We get a bunch of believers together that know how to suck it up and magnify God, we're going to show you something. Now, it takes a disciplined person to do that. It takes a disciple of Christ to do that. The disciples were stoned and killed. They had to suck it up. They had to own it that the goal might be fulfilled. Did they do a good job? You better believe it, because today, because of those 12, I have the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know where all that came from, but that was for somebody. Now, why revival? Why awakening? Why transparency? This is what happens. Awaken you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So if you've got a certain amount of light right now and you want more, there's a part of you that's still asleep. Say, Alan, that's good preaching. There's part of you still asleep. True disciples are the light of the world, Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do that light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. There's all kinds of houses, but this is a house. So if we come in here, what are we to release?
Light.
We come together with a purpose. You say, well, Alan, I need me time. I need me time for somebody to pat me. I understand all that. I don't know if y'all have picked up on or not, but I'm not a good patter. I'm working on my patting. I don't have the patting down real good yet. If we come together with a common goal to magnify God, just tell each other what God did for you this week. If you don't have nothing to tell, you're not paying attention. You've got to retrain your brain. We got to retrain how we think. It's called a disciple of Christ. A disciple of Christ is making a choice between comfort and resistance. If you're wanting to go towards comfort, you will not be a disciple. Are you getting me? Now, we look at everything around us using light. Without light, you won't see anything at all. There are two types of light. I went over last week, natural light and what? Supernatural light. Now, I've told you just a minute ago, after you've done all you can do, you then find it's not enough. So we do all we can do knowing that it's not enough, waiting on the hand of God. The sovereignty of God is what moves everything. Not you, not me. The reason that I work at being a disciple is because the higher up the mountain that I climb, the better the view I have to see the hand of God move. What does a prophetic person do? He say, well, I'm up about 5,000 feet, and from here I can see this. Well, I'm at 6,000 feet. Well, what do you see? I see this. It's the prophetic view of the spiritual landscape. How do I stay under the light? Last week I showed you about shadows. How the further away from the light you are, it will cast a bigger shadow. A shadow is just merely the absence of what? Of light. So we can be a believer and have light shining on our lives, but we have many fears. What produces a fear and a shadow? There's a part of your life that's not transparent. Yeah, Alan, I'm with you. Not sure if I like you, but I'm with you. Transparency, when you have a shadow in your life, and you're a believer, the light of God shining on your life, the reason it's producing shadow where there's fears is because there's part of you that's not being transparent with God. Say, Alan, I got it. Now, John 8:12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who does what? There's a little bit of qualification there. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. One little eatsy-beatsy qualification. Follow me. That's what a disciple is. One who follows him. Where is this light? From where does it come? I've shown you this in Corinthians. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, referring to Genesis, there was no light. God allowed the light, creation, out of darkness, hath shined in our what? Now the same light that God spoke into existence in creation in Genesis 1 is the exact light that He shines into our hearts. That means it is a creative light. Light exposes. And when something is exposed, it creates. Why transparency? Why exposure? So that there can be new creation begins at transparency and exposure. That is the beginning. Without it, no creation. Is anybody catching? You got to catch it. I can't say it all. Now, Jesus said, "He who follows me," to follow Jesus is a choice to stay under the light. If the light is directly over you, you can see I'm casting a shadow now, right behind me. That shadow is bigger than me. Does your fears feel bigger than you? That's what a fear is. Feels bigger than you. To stay under the light means you're choosing to stay right under the light and it casts no shadow. God Himself has shined this light and His destination's your heart. It is an act of God and He compares His impartation of light to the light of creation. Now I've introduced to you a word, impartation. Impartation. Just file it away in your brain, here in your spirit. Impartation. God compares this impartation of light. I am of the persuasion that the power of the Spirit of God can be transferred through impartation. We'll get into that, maybe not today, but next week. Light travels faster than sound. Now, this is what you got to catch as a prophetic people. Light travels faster than sound. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Now, the fastest thing known of in science or non-science or just redneck is light. I don't care how good your coon dog is, light's faster. Light is faster. Fastest thing known to man. You know, it's amazing to me how God called it light, and it's the fastest thing in the world. Do you remember the teaching I gave you on before the foundations of the earth? What God is calling, if we prophetically speak into someone's life, you've got a choice. You can either be trying to tell their future, well, you're going to be this and you're going to be that. Or you're going to do this, you're going to do that. Which is forbidden in Scripture. That's soothsaying. Well, how does the prophetic work? You see, God thought of each one of us before the foundations of the earth. So a prophetic person keys in on how God saw you before the foundations of the earth. And when you speak forth the prophetic in somebody's life, they'll feel a witness in here. I've heard it said like this, well, you're reading my mail. No, I'm not reading your mail, just reading the history books of God. And when the truth is spoken, you can feel it jump in here. A prophetic person doesn't speak nothing new. The prophetic person just brings to an awakening what God's already put in there. So what do? You're reaching back. But this person's in darkness. But you're reaching back because when you speak it, light travels faster than sound. Sound travels at 1,088 feet per second. So light can outrun sound. That's the reason how you live your life before people travels faster than what you say. You really want to be a prophetic person, it's how you live your life. Yeah, go ahead and, you know, we use words if we have to. But the light of God moves quicker, covers more territory, covers more ground. That's the reason. That is why lightning is seen before thunder is heard. You see lightning, then you wait a little bit, and here comes the thunder. Why? Speed of light travels much faster than the speed of sound. Now, you got to understand something. As a prophetic people, Satan uses sound. He doesn't have light. He'll try to appear as an angel of light, but he has to do it through sound. There's arrows. It says that he speaks arrows, he shoots arrows. That term for arrow is sounds of communication. So when the dark side and the enemy shoots arrows, it's through sound. Well, here's what you got to understand in the prophetic. The light will outrun that sound. So somebody says, well, you're this right here, Ed, this is who you are, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You just reach back and who God saw you before the foundations of the earth. That light, when you call forth the prophetic, you're calling forth the light that's at the end of the tunnel. You're calling people forth unto whom they're going to be, not who they are. If you try to read their life and to whom they're going to be, you're reading the wrong book. I don't know what I just said, but I said something right there that meant something. Now, the light of God's word travels faster than the sound of the voices of darkness. Remember, the light of God, God's word, gets there first. I don't care what anybody tries to say prophetically. It could be, you could have been cursed in your life, or you're like this, or you're slow, or you're this, what are you? All those sounds have been out there. But when we prophesy God's word over somebody's life, guess who gets there first? God's word. Why? Because it's faster. What does it mean that Jesus died for the sins of the world? It means his light's done got to the end. He can cover them all, past, present, and future. How come? Because it's so cotton-picking fast, and there's nothing no faster. Nothing can outrun the light of God. It's impossible. But what if the light of God is not used? The sound wins. Now, let's move. Therefore, his light within you will be a creative light. This creative light is full of the knowledge of God's glory, which is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm crossing into light here. In the face, the glory, you've heard of the glory of God, right? What's the glory of God? What's it speaking about? It's speaking about this light that's within coming out. Since the Holy Spirit abides within you, this light can also radiate from your face. Now, y'all have heard me teach a little bit on this. But your face is a big deal. Your face is an exit place. That's the reason we'll try to fix it up so good, I guess. I don't know. We're trying to make our face into who we hope we are. Figure that one out. Therefore, this light within you will be a creative light. And it says this in Corinthians. It says, we are not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face. He compared us to Moses. What he's saying here, Paul's saying, we're in a better place. To keep the Israelites from gazing on it while the radiance of was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, say anyone, anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is what? Taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord there is, now, this is the context of that statement. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, say we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being what? Say transformed. I want you to hang on that word transformed. Are being transformed. Now you're thinking transformed, that Greek word just means you're being changed. It's more than just being changed. It's much more. It's just like I told you a minute ago. When the light of God shines, it reveals and creates at the same time. It reveals our hearts, we repent, and it creates. We're wanting God to make a creation without repenting. Well, we got to give up something. We got to repent. When we do that, it brings in a new creation. Same for salvation, but it's the same thing for the rest of your Christian life as you are being transformed. Being transformed, do you not think of being changed? When I say you're going to be a transformer for Jesus. If I say the word transformer, what does that make you think of? I'm not talking about these little gadgets on TV, the transformers. I'm not talking about that. Power. Transformed to transmit. Transformed to transmit. Now here it says, unveiled face, reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with what? Ever-increasing glory. Did you know that ever-increasing glory is power? You can't do glory and power, they're inseparable. Glory is power. It's a power move. So we see that we're being transformed into a transformer and receiving power. When we receive light, it turns into an internal energy. When we transmit energy, it turns back into light. Let me give you an example. You ever heard of a distribution? Anybody work for Duke Power here? Distribution transformers are used to increase or decrease the alternating voltages in electric power applications. That's called a transformer. You see them on poles everywhere. They receive power and they transmit power. They can either jack it up or bring it down. It's called a transformer. Now, you are a transformer if you are a believer of God. That's just the end of the story. You're a transformer. Now, you're either dialing it, you within you. He says you're being transformed. In other words, you're being made into a transformer to receive the radiance of His glory. A transformer, it's the way the wires are wrapped in there, it creates a magnetic field. But a transformer can either jack up the voltage or turn it down. Anybody hear what I'm trying to tell you? So your life as a transformer, you see, Satan is constantly, daily, weekly trying to get you to turn down the energy, turn down the power. You say, well, Alan, I don't feel like it. Well, you're not going to believe what happened. Well, this happened and this happened. And then half of us, or two-thirds, or 98% of it, we walk around not really sure if we believe in God. We wouldn't dare say it out loud. But because of life circumstances, we have now been convinced to a point we don't even know if God cares. You just got dialed down. We're transformers. We have the ability to receive power and turn it up. You shall do greater things. He wasn't kidding. But you know what? The transformer's got to receive it before it can transmit it. When that transformer, it transmits to a light bulb, it changes that energy, the light bulb is, back into light. Like I told you, you receive. The transformer receives the light, turns into an internal energy. Would anybody like to feel good for Jesus and just go bonkers? Huh? Are you too embarrassed? Listen, just turn plumb bonkers for Jesus because there's so much energy and power, you can say, well, they're mentally unstable. Well, just praise God. I would to God that our energy levels could get so high, we would be storing so much energy. What draws people to the light of God is the stored energy in God's people. God's not going to draw anybody here unless we store the energy of the gospel, of the kingdom, of an almighty God. How do we store it? We get transparent. We receive this light. Here's what the definition of a transmitter is. A set of equipment used to generate and transmit electromagnetic waves carrying messages or signals, especially those of radio or television, a person or a thing that transmits something. So as spiritual beings, you're going to transmit something. Here's the danger part. When the enemy comes and dials you down, well, you're dialed down. You're not helping heaven nor hell. You're just kind of dialed down. What's bad is when you get the energy of God and you use it for your glory. That's very bad. So it's according to what we're trying to transmit. Your face is a place of export of this glory of the light within. So I can tell by your face what you're transmitting. Anybody with me? I'm glad y'all weren't with me last week. I was transmitting some junk. I don't know what frequency I was on. It wasn't 106.9. Is your face a reflection of darkness, or is it a place which radiates the light of God's glory? The only way your face can radiate the light of God's glory is because you've received God's glory, and you're a self-transformer. You've received this energy, have stored this energy, and you can say, by faith is the thing that dials up the energy of God. I'm just telling you the spiritual science of how this works. Remember what Jesus said about the light. He said it would radiate through the whole house. Neither do men put a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. I remind you of what I said earlier, magnifying glass. As we come in here going into worship, if we can truly magnify God, we can say, well, I can think about this. Well, I'm gonna do. Nobody in here knows. I'm thinking, I got to do this next. Oh, this did happen last week. Oh, I need money to pay the power bill. Got to do this. Nobody knows what I'm thinking. I'm asking, will we be as a magnifying glass, all come together with all of this light onto one spot and see the fire of God ignite all of our hearts? True disciples are the light of the world, he said. True disciples are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. A city that sits on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. A disciple is a life that has chosen to condition itself to receive more light, thus having less darkness. Now I want to ask you a question. How big is your want to be a disciple? Amen. Thank you very much. That's the question. How big is your want to? Hell, okay, Alan, sounds right. If you keep talking, Alan, you might talk me into it in 2 or 3 months. Well, 1 to 10, your big's about a 2. How big is your want to? That's the question I think the Spirit is asking us. How big do you want to be set free of addiction? How bad do you want to be set free of fears? How bad do you want to be set alive and on fire? You can say, well, Alan, I just don't feel like it. That's okay. Be transparent with God and say, God, don't feel like it. That's okay. I dare you. Just be transparent with God. Tell him the truth. After you've done all you know to do, let God, sovereign God, take over. He's good. The future lifestyle you seek has to resonate deep within you. Say, God, it doesn't resonate. Be honest with God. Be transparent with God. The next thing you'll say, God, it just doesn't resonate. Next thing you know, you'll say, but God, I want it to. And buddy, she's on then. Deep inside of you is more strength than you've ever known. You might think you're a little cat, but the truth is there's a lion inside of you. I'm telling you the truth here. There's more deep within you is more strength than you know. That's why you can feel the witness of the Spirit deep within you. You have to enjoy getting uncomfortable because of the light. Say praise God, Alan. Praise God. You learn to enjoy getting uncomfortable. Now, I told you, uncomfortable is the opposite of comfortable. I said in the beginning of this, it's a choice between comfort and resistance. I had a guy who's been a few years ago now, and I'm sure I've told you, but he came to me and said, Alan, I got a new job. I said, oh, that's wonderful. What is it? And he said, well, I get 2 weeks off vacation. I get off on Fridays. And he went through all this stuff, told me how great this job was. I said, well, that's good. What's your job? He was judging a job by how much comfort it brought him. Are you in the kingdom because of how much comfort you're seeking? Let me save you a lot of time. Ain't happening. Let's get caught up on it. I can save you about 30 years. Can comfort come along the way? It does come along the way. But it's not because of outward circumstances. It's because your heart has learned to hit the resistance head on. There's a great reward in hitting things head on. There's a difference. Christianity, our choice is a place of comfort versus a place of resistance. And I'm just here to tell you, we can run straight through the resistance. If you want the comfort, you're going to have to go to somebody else but me. That's not been my experience in life. You have to enjoy getting uncomfortable because of the light and find the spiritual and emotional pain a personal challenge. Come on, y'all. It's not that bad. For some reason, we've learned that whining's acceptable behavior. We think that it'll move us to a place of comfort. I'm just telling you, nobody's on the other end but you. So go ahead and pat yourself, because nobody else is going to show up. If they do, it won't be but once or twice, and your feelings are going to be hurt. Nobody loves me. Think I'll eat a worm. Right? Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. So what happens? We find that we're going to have personal pain, but we're going to change it into a personal challenge. It is hard to measure your heart or your want to, but you can measure that you work hard every day and mature into a highly disciplined person that has received and can be trusted to carry much light. I'm speaking to a group of people that are wanting to run completely on into maturity in this life. I am not teaching second, third, and fourth, fifth grade children. That is not my gift. I don't have even an inkling of it. I even tried to do a youth group one time, and I didn't make it. And I didn't teach them but one time. I still didn't make it. That's not my call. My call is to mature the mature into a place of finishing well. Can somebody hear what I'm trying to say? But you can measure that you work hard every day and mature into a highly disciplined person that has received and can be trusted to carry the light. If you can be a trusted transformer, God will shine in more light for you to carry. A transformer doesn't use the energy. The transformer passes it on. The light of God is not for you. It's for those that you're transmitting to. Never quit and prove the devil's wrong. Somebody say amen. Amen. God calls us to be a part of a light-bearing team. We're to be individuals carrying light. God has called us to be part of a light-bearing team, and it's called the church. That's the reason you get all these transformers together with the right understanding of their purpose, come together with the power and the energy of God, directed to magnify Him. There's no telling what His light will do in this place. And now we got the internet and stuff. The light can go everywhere. I don't know about y'all, I felt a huge witness of the Spirit of God just run all over me. The Spirit said, yes, and amen, Alan, tell them something. A healthy disciple full of light helps to motivate the church. Our purpose here is to motivate and help each other. It's not a place to have group therapy. I'm sorry, it's just that's not what this is. It's not group therapy. This is a place for us to motivate each other. Now, one-on-one, if you're helping somebody, yes. I'm not saying that. But some people will come into a church house complaining they got their shopping bag every week of everything they're complaining about and how bad they've been done wrong. All you want is somebody to pat you on the back. I'm just telling you, don't come to me. Now, I'll tell you the truth, but I'm not patting you on the back. There's others here that'll be patters. And I told you I was working on my patent. Well, I hadn't got there yet. I'm not certified. Now, a disciple can take back authority that has been lost. Now, I shared that with you some. We're going to have to stop here. It's 10:27. I've done one over, gotten a speeding ticket and everything. A disciple can take back authority, or that's when we have, you ever heard of stray voltage? Stray voltage is when you got a wire going in the ground at the wrong place and you got voltage. It's not doing anybody any good. It's just shaking everybody. It's just shocking everybody. Doesn't do any good. Doesn't turn a fan on. Doesn't turn a light. Just makes everybody do that. I'm going to talk about stray voltage next week. As a transformer, how we receive the light and we transmit the power, the energy of God. Has everybody kind of halfway got what I tried to say? If you would stand, I'm going to pray. Let's see if we can focus ourselves, all of us together, with the energy and the power of God. Magnify Him. Lord Jesus, we love You. We thank You, O God, for this day. Lord God, I sometimes feel like I make a mess in talking, but Lord, if there's any way You can take anything that I said and use it for the power and the glory of Your kingdom, we thank You and we bless You. We ask and pray, O God, that You'd be with us today. And as You're with us today, that You would show us and help us to magnify You. We're going to magnify You with all we know. We're going to lift up Your name with all we know. We're going to lift up our hands with all we know. We're going to worship You with all we know how. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.